Breezy.
Moe's nose.
Peachy.
It's about that time. Everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's nose, Peachy Breezy, and Fair to God. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you nine to talk. We two gorillas, silver back, nah, silver
home. You know it's busting the discussion because we get it in. Every time, you know, we grinding. I was 8 to 10. We always play to win. The faithful going hard. It's Wayne, Breezy, Peachy, Moe's nose, and Fear to God. Let's get it.
Nitty gritty, next in line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, next in line is tall. We outline players up and show. Nitty gritty, next in line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, next in line is tall. Line is tall. Nitty gritty, next in line is tall.
One time. What's going on, everybody? The Nitty Gritty Niners Talk crew is back. It's Monday. It's a victory Monday on top of that. We didn't get a chance to chop it up with the family. Moe's, what's going on, bro?
Man, listen, I'm chilling. I'm sorry if my daughter's downstairs fighting.
She said, shut up, Wayne. That's what I heard.
No, she didn't say that. The baby is talking to the two older ones. She fighting with both of them.
I love
it. But, man, I'm glad to be here, man. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you guys last night. We were at a wedding, my wife and I, you know, celebrating the union of two young people who, you know, we love dearly. So it was a really, really good time. You know, the parents of the bride were really, really close with, and they didn't think I was coming because mm-hmm. the wedding was on this Sunday, and they know I do Nitty Gritty Niners. They know I got Moe's nose. So when the mom saw me, she said, I got you out and you missing your 49ers and Sunday Night Football for me. She was like, that's love. So yeah, but she was like, I don't even care that you got the game on your phone. Like, if you watch it on your phone, I don't care because you're here. But, man, we got to celebrate love. We got to celebrate a wedding. We got to celebrate a win. Everything looks good. So it's good to be back with the fam.
Yeah, that's what's up, Moses. Good to have you back. Peachy, it's Monday. You know what that means. How was your day?
Oh, it wasn't as manic as I thought. What got on my nerves was all the cowgirl fans that I work with that are like, oh, if your team's going to play like that, this finna be like a Giants game. This going to be the same. I'm like, man, you.
When the last time the Cowboys beat the 49ers, PG? That's what you should have asked them.
I just looked at them and I was like, So everybody was talking their little stuff. Me and Breezy are trying to game plan on the phone. Got my coworkers chatting in the background about whatever they got to say and all this stuff. And had the nerve, like my maintenance guy had the nerve to bring up Atlanta. And I said, Atlanta, they ain't even get close to entering this chat. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, we're going to see you in the playoffs. I'm like, okay.
Why do people think their team is significant? And why do they use this game to make it seem like we weak?
Because they think that the Rams are the best team. And I'm like, but they lost. And it was the division game. And they still think that the Rams are the best team because Colin Cowherd has everybody's head gassed up now about the Rams. And that the Rams are the it team. And they're the one that are going to blah, blah, blah. Like they say every year. They say the same crap until they come up against us. And then Sean McVay has to mess up everybody's stuff because he lost. So he's like, well, since I'm losing, I'm going to make everybody lose. Then he has to mess up the spread on purpose, mind you, because if I ain't winning, ain't nobody winning.
But you know what, though? If the 49ers continue to use this fuel to add to the fire, this is what I want. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still disrespect. The 49ers are ranked, like, in the power rankings. They're still ranked number one.
We sure are.
But they still make it. Not that I take much stride or stock into the power rankings, but at the end of the day, because it's from them writers, at the end of the day, it's just weird how, like, we're still disrespected.
Yes.
Like, we haven't lost a game since Christian McCaffrey's been starting in the lineup. Yeah, it's 12-0.
Mm-hmm.
Since he became
a starter. And since Purdy been a starter in the regular season, all he does is put up 30.
30 Purdy.
Right.
All he does is put up 30.
But the disrespect is crazy. Like, it's funny because I haven't talked about us being disrespected all day into this show. So this show attracts the disrespect. Like I feel this is the crazy show right here. Yep. Like I'm trying to figure out like I'm not gonna sit here and say that the Rams didn't play well. They played very well.
Mm-hmm.
But the 49ers played better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because we won. Yeah. Right?
People are sitting up here talking about, you guys didn't start off good. Last time I checked, it doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish.
Yeah, but
and
we
the
was,
adjustments that were made I mean, at we, halftime we, made a significant difference and turned Matt Stafford into the Matt Stafford that we know of that is apt to make mistakes. And he made
about
5 of
them. Wait, didn't we put up 7 on our first drive?
Yeah, like we started off. Fine, like we scored. It what happened was we didn't score on a drive. We had the matter of fact, they ended up taking the lead, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. after that Jake mm-hmm. Moody kick out of bounds. Then you had a couple of penalties on that drive.
Yes.
And then that's when it kind of started to shift a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't say that we started off slow. Like we were fine. It's just that they were keeping up with the tempo. Like look, when I go through this game and I go through, you know, the stats of the game and I sit back and I'm like, dang, yo, like these dudes was pretty much they had the ball for 33 minutes. That's five mm-hmm. more minutes than the 49ers. They ran 24 more offensive plays to put up 21 extra yards total offense.
I sure did.
We were more yards per play, 6.8 to 4.9. The penalties was a push, but we did have two more penalty yards than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I mean, the kickers were a push. They both were 3 for 3. It was a pretty balanced game. This is what you get when you play. I don't see any other team getting shit when they have conference games. Like, conference games have a different set of rules.
They always do. The divisional matchups are always going to be crazy.
That's what I mean, divisional
matchups.
They
are never going to be what you think they are. We are never going to be respected the way that we need to be respected until we win Super Bowl.
Okay.
We are just not.
Okay.
I've already accepted it.
But Dallas getting more respect, and they haven't won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Name some of these other respected teams. There are 10 teams right now, or 8 mm-hmm. teams right now that are currently 2-0. Potentially 10 teams can be 2-0. If Cleveland win tonight, they could be 2-0. And if the Saints win tonight, they could be 2-0. So which of those teams, I mean, are the 49ers and the Cowboys, to me, are the only two teams that haven't won since the 90s. That are 2-0. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm trying to.
No, you're right.
But why do we still get pushed down the barrels? And we should be the more relevant of the two
exactly.
teams, right?
Yeah. But everybody just, like, for some reason, everybody wants Dallas to beat us because we have been upset. Like, we have literally beat them twice in a row in the playoffs. And so everybody is, like, ready, except for Stephen A. And if you guys have not checked out, Breeze.
Oh, I'll be clipping them up, yo. Soon as I find a little tidbit,
You have to check out Breezy's Stephen A. Reel. I know a lot of people don't care about Stephen A.
I know.
But it's just about what he said. So just ignore that it's Stephen A. and just listen what he has to say. But
now, don't ignore Stephen A. because it's the tone and it's the way he's saying what he said.
Yeah.
That it was spot on.
I can't wait until we beat Dallas. Because those are the first takes that I live for, the way Stephen A. starts them out.
But there's no, yeah.
And
yeah.
now he has Shannon.
So right.
He's got
and they both hate Skip. Come on, Skip.
So
come
they
on,
are
Skip.
Going to, seriously, if Shannon Sharp will stop calling Stephen A. Stephen A. Skip.
he something's wrong with the whole panel. Because Stephen A. even made a boo-boo in his take,
right.
too. Anyway, Eddie G and the B Dogs, man, been a member for 10 months, man. My family, first place, none gonna change. Love you, bro. See you soon. See you real soon. Week 10, I believe. Week 10. And then Troy with the super chat contribution early says, my only worry is CMC being used way too much. All right. First two games, CMC, 42 carries total. Is that too much for you, Mose and Peachy?
No.
I don't think so. People need to remember how he was used in Carolina.
Yeah, when he's like right. running 46 times
right.
a game.
That was right. That was way too much. Like, he literally would be like 42 in one game.
Right.
I don't think he
is. He's getting 30 to 35 carries mm-hmm. and 5 to 10 targets. Like,
yeah. Which is what a number one running back in the National Football back in the league should be doing.
Right. And I think the only problem is because of his past injuries, everybody's so mm-hmm. worried about him getting hurt.
I got it.
If this was Nick Chubb, would we be complaining?
Exactly.
If this was Derrick Henry, would we be complaining? If it's Derrick Henry, we'd be like, yo, give him the ball 50 times. He's 6'3", mm-hmm. 250 pounds. Let him run everybody over. So mm-hmm. I think because he's a smaller back, they think he's delicate because of his past. But the way he's playing right now, the confidence Super that safe. He's playing with, the offensive line that he's playing with, and what he's done to build up his body and to mm-hmm. maintain his health and keep his body strong, build his strength, build his muscle, but also build his flexibility, stay limber. You know, he looks good out there. And, I mean, it's football. Guys get hurt all the time. We almost had a scare yesterday with Brandon Ayuk being down on the ground a few times. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a little shoulder stinger issue going on. And those things happen. But, you know, I don't think he's being overused right now.
Every time that you see him, like, he doesn't look like he's feeling anything. Like, he literally feels like he can go for another 30. That's just the way that he looks. He doesn't look like when he was in Carolina, he used to be like roaring on the sidelines, going down with all this and stuff or whatever, straight doing all this. He ain't doing none of that stuff. He literally looks like that he could probably go for 60 if he had to. He's just like Mo said, like, he's taking care of himself so well. And he also likes the position that he's in. So that also matters because you're not being ran into the ground. You're not like everything on an offense. You look around and there's all kinds of weapons around you and everything like that. So he knows that he's got plenty of help on this team.
Yeah, there was one
problem with it.
There was one scary point in the game. And shout out to Mike Andrews because he sent me a clip earlier to point out one thing. And then I watched it and I found something totally different in the clip. And this is what I love about perspectives, right? Like, you could watch something and you see it one way. And unless you tell me what to look for, I'm finding my own perspective. And that's the one thing I like. So he sends me a clip. He wanted to show to me why Christian McCaffrey did what he did to Keller Witherspoon. And so I watched it three times and I'm like, what do you do? Like what happened? And then I saw Kello on a run play. I think it was it might have been Deebo Samuel to the right, and Christian McCaffrey was the lead block. And on that run play, McCaffrey was blocking out Kello, and then Kello kind of pushed him, and McCaffrey fell. But he didn't fall from the Kello push. Trust me, he's not that strong. This is how he fell. And this is what was scary. So when I showed Mike, he was like, oh, shoot. So the scary part was McKivitz came out of nowhere and slipped, and it took his legs out. And that's how – and at the it happened simultaneously to where it looked like a Keller Witherspoon pushed Christian McCaffrey down. Christian McCaffrey took it as if he pushed him down because he was looking at him, and Christian might have felt like he got beat on the rep. I don't think Christian knew he got – his legs swiped out of him by Colton McKivitz.
And Akello was probably chirping because absolutely. That's all Akello does. Akello talks more than he performs.
Right.
And that's why I asked Mike, I was like, yo, What are you trying to show me? That Akello stayed away from the contact because he was not near the Deebo Samuel tackle, yo. That dude's as soft as a Twinkie filling, yo.
Yeah.
Like, super soft, yo. He shouldn't even be wearing number 44. He should be wearing, like, something else, yo. Like, at the end of the day.
No, he shouldn't have a jersey, Breezy.
Listen, man. Look, man, that's Mike's boy.
I don't understand how you get your soul stiff-armed into the earth.
Bro,
and get up, stiff. And then you talking trash. And the only reason, real talk, the only reason why you got stiffed arm is because your teammate made the hustle play and dove at Christian's ankles and kind of clipped his ankles a little bit and made his feet chop. If he didn't get that, he could have put his foot in the ground and made you look stupid. But I'm actually glad that he took one hand, lifted you up off the ground.
He tried to
and basically Undertaker choke slammed you into the ground.
Yeah,
and then you popping up talking trash. Akello been good for is running his damn mouth and not doing anything positive on the field.
Yo, I'm sorry. Can somebody shoot me now? Freaking Deshaun Watson just threw a damn pick six and I'm just screaming my head off right now. I can't win. I cannot win for nothing.
Oh well. You know, welcome to the NFL. Welcome back.
Yeah,
can't blame that on the rain.
Because Joe Burrow is selling me this year.
I know, right?
God. So let's speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk about our quarterback. Let's talk about Brock Purdy.
Yes.
And his performance. 17 for 25, 206 yards, no touchdowns throwing, but he did have a rushing touchdown. He did have a quarterback sneak on the goal line. But as far as his throws, he missed three throws. It's something that he's been struggling with all, training camp. And I thought he was struggling because of the strength in his arm. What I saw in this game is that he has the strength. What he's lacking is the touch or the finesse of the deep pass to get it to his wide receiver. So these were overthrows. We've seen this before. And so, like, what were your thoughts on I tell you what, let's let you, PG, you take one of the overthrows, and then Moz, you take the other, and I'll take the final one. So whichever ones you want to pick. You had I'll go in order. You had the Brandon Ayuk overthrow on the slow route. You had the second one was to was it Deebo Samuel? Oh, that was the beautiful one. And then it was a one to Juwan Jennings a little bit later, even though he did hit Juwan Jennings on a deep pass later in the game. Which one do you want to take, Peachy?
I'll take the Deebo Samuel one because it was very reminiscent of James Garoppolo.
Ah, the Emmanuel Sanders throw.
Yes. It really brought back some more.
I don't know if that Emmanuel Sanders throw would have been a touchdown. I don't know. But the Deebo was walking
that
into the end zone.
Samuel would have been a touchdown. I can tell you that now. I was very frustrated and I was screaming like a bunch of foul words at the TV because if he'd have got that right in the bucket, that just would have been seven right there.
Well, six, easily, and that's the crazy part, right? Because both weeks we watched the Niners. They asked Kyle this too about having this explosive type of an offense and things like that, and he's like, "Yeah, man, like." We have that every year, but like it comes down to like the execution and things like that. That was definitely a tough one. Do you think it's going to affect Brock Purdy's mental to stay away from trying to get those deep passes down the field in the near future?
No, I hope that it's going to help him to practice more on it. I mean, he seems like that type of guy that, realizes that something's wrong is going to fix it. And the one thing that I loved about him is he did take full accountability for those throws as well.
Indeed.
So I think because he took full accountability for them, didn't blame them on nothing, just blamed them solely on himself. He's got to get better. He's got to make those throws. I expect the next time that he'll make those throws. I think that he'll work on those throws a lot.
Yeah, that's just timing.
Definitely.
Just timing. All right, that was probably the worst of the three. Like that was the
me that brought these out.
Yeah, that one right there was the one to me that I was like, oh, you gotta make that one. Mose, which one would you want to take?
I was actually gonna take the Debo one because the Debo one is the only one that I saw live. Like I was at the table during the reception. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's a I put my hands up as a tutty, and then he missed it. And I was like, oh.
Like
and then my hair, and then Tori looking at me like, she was like, no outburst. I was like, listen,
no outburst. Oh, man, I couldn't have did it. I'd have been in the bathroom at that wedding.
It was okay. There was one point during the cocktail hour, Purdy fumbled the snap.
So I don't know if that was on Purdy. Did you see that? Did you see
it? Yeah, I mean it was a center quarterback exchange.
Yeah, so that's when I saw the fumble was on Purdy. Yeah.
But when I saw the ball hit the ground, like I was like, and I turned around, walked away, and I like balled my fists up. And one of our couple friends, she looked at me, she was like, is everything okay? And then she was like, oh wait, I forgot you're watching the game. And she was like, all right, so what happened? And I was like, our quarterback fumbled the snap. And she was like, oh yeah, that's bad. But no, just to talk about the overthrows just a little bit. In my estimation, I know he's healed. I know he's comfortable with, you know, making passes and, you know, making all of the throws. I do feel like, because this has been talked about even before this game, his deep ball accuracy and his ability to complete passes deep down the field, that's something in the back of his mind. And then after the injury, trying to just make sure that the arm strength is there. I'm sure he knows his body better than us. So while he's healed and he's able to throw the ball, maybe he still feels like his arm strength isn't quite where it needs to be. So maybe he's overcompensating to make sure that he can get the ball deep down the field, and that's why we're seeing some of these overthrows. So I think it's just going to take him a little bit more time just to get a little bit more comfortable with making the reads, making the throws, you know, continuing to build that timing and that chemistry with his receivers. I don't feel like this is going to be an issue throughout the season. I think it may take a few more games to kind of get in a rhythm. But I think maybe that this just is a little bit of a residual carryover from the injury and then just overcompensating a little bit right now.
Yeah, I mean, and it just looked like timing and rhythm, simple, something simple. It looked like the receivers, you know, I don't know what the plan was supposed to be. I mean, Debo had his guy like beat straight up, and y'all talk about Debo like, well, some people talk about Debo not winning his reps or not being able to get open. He beat his guy straight up. And it was just like more of Brock could have put the ball more toward the middle. There was no safety in the play whatsoever. Like, he beat him straight up. And on the Brennan Ayuk throw, I mean, the route was so crisp. I know some people felt like he might have been slowed down a little bit because of the injury or things like that. I just think it was another overthrow. I think the timing was off. The route was perfect, and he was walking in the end zone. Like, look, got to watch it again. Check out the All-22. I put all of Brock Purdy's throws, his completions, his misses, penalties, all that stuff. Check out the All-22. It should be a link inside the chat. I chopped it up for you guys. It's only a six-minute video. Make sure you watch it. Leave a comment on it. But you can see, like, how he missed. You're going to be like, oh, yeah. He did miss, right? And then on the Juwan Jennings throw was like I didn't know Juwan Jennings could beat double coverage, bro. I can't believe you didn't see that. I did not know he could beat double coverage. He literally beat the corner and the safety and had them beat, but the ball was just a little bit overthrown. I'm not saying that would have been a touchdown, but man, it would have been a big game. But then later on down in the game, Brock hits him with that deep route and 50-50 ball. And you know what I'm saying? He goes up and grabs it with two hands like he just mauled somebody. So I like what we're getting from Brock Purdy. I'm liking the gangster that he's demonstrating on the football field. I like the fact that every time he steps out onto the football field, he's the underdog. I'm trying to figure out how is this undefeated regular season quarterback that can put up 30 points every single game and underdog. But I get it. He's still not respected because he was wearing red and gold. If he was wearing any other colors on any other team, they'd be talking about Brock Purdy, the savior in football, this, this, that, and the third. So I'm a little bit tight about that. I'm glad that Brock is here, and I'm glad that Brock is doing some things and he's testing the waters a little bit. Because the one thing people aren't giving Brock credit for is the simple fact that he's locating man coverage. He's going through his progressions. Guys is coming at him left and right. He's stepping up in the pocket. There was one play where he just stood in the pocket to the last second and throws a dart to Brandon Ayuk, who gets cracked over the middle of the field with the catch of the first down. Matter of fact, it was on a third down, third and long to be exact, and then Brandon comes up with the catch. Like, this kid, Brock Purdy's resilience is ridiculous, and it's time that we start putting him out there so people can start respecting him. That's how I feel about Brock. Overall, decent game. Offensive player of the game. Who stood out to you the most offensively?
I'm going to go a little off the grid here. I'm going to say Jennings.
Ah, Juwan Jennings. I like it. I don't think that's off the grid at all. I mean, he caught some big first downs, big catches. Yeah. Yeah. For the 49ers, yeah. And it's the second leading team receiver. I mean, look, you're not going to get 100 yards from these wide receivers all the time because they spread the ball out. It's not like we're throwing to one wide receiver all game like a Puka Nacua. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what the Niners do unless they find a matchup that they're trying to exploit all game long. But I like that you picked Jennings. Matter of fact, Jennings, what was he, 2 for 3? 3 targets, 2 receptions. He had 2 receptions on 3 targets because remember that one that was the overthrow. 2 receptions on 3 targets for 51 yards. He averaged 25.5 yards per reception.
Mm-hmm. And those 2 catches were big.
Huge
as
catches.
As far as not just yards, but pivotal moments in the game.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I like that pick, Peachy. I underrated guy, doesn't get much love, but when his number is called, he tends to show up.
That's right.
Yeah, he tends to show up. Mose, offensively, who you going with? And guys in the chat, feel free to put your offensive player of the game in there. We'll talk about him if there's anyone different than the ones that we chose. We want to see who you guys come up with. Go ahead, Mose.
Yeah, you know, before the show, you had mentioned this guy in regular season contests has not lost to the Rams. So I'm gonna have to give it to Debo. You know, with BA not being 100%, you know, him coming in, getting 9 targets, making 6 catches for 63 yards, but then having 5 carries, 38 yards, averaging 7.6 on the ground. And getting that late touchdown in the fashion that he did, breaking tackles, making guys miss, being resilient, being tenacious, not going down easy. When he plays the Rams, he shows up. He shows up and he shows out. So I got to give it to Debo for what he offered both in the run and in the pass game.
Yeah, man. And essentially when we talk about Debo Samuel, man, this dude literally owns – the Rams. Like, he is the owner of the Rams. I'm talking 8-0 regular season. He has not lost to the Rams in the regular season. Like literally. His best game came in 2020, all right? This is when he was the guy, right? He had 13 targets, 11 receptions, 133 yards, 36 rushing yards. Like, the dude, he had a rushing touchdown in that game. It seems like Kyle knows when to utilize Debo Samuel in the run game. I thought the last touchdown by him was a pass, but apparently it must have been behind the line of scrimmage because they called it a run. So he got credit for the rush yards on that. Kyle said, we'll just pad the run stats. Like, but, yeah, man, this dude literally, like, owns the Rams. And when he's healthy – this is why I'm so adamant about, like, us and so confident about us defeating this particular type of team, right? Because when you have the mindset and the skill set and the heart of a Deebo Samuel, a healthy one, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Especially when you add in all the new weapons that they have.
Yes.
And he's not necessarily utilized. Now, the only thing I would suggest, and y'all could call me crazy, I think Deebo needs more touches. Like, I feel like Deebo needs a little bit more action. Now, I like the way Deebo has been. He has turned into this unselfish. I'm not saying he was ever selfish, but he's turned into an unselfish player. He's adamant about it doesn't matter who gets the thing. Deebo is blocking as a wide receiver now. I mean, these are things I don't remember seeing from Deebo Samuel. Like, I don't know. He was never really in the doghouse, but, man, he got it. I think he's figured it out. And that's why I feel like Deebo Samuel is a key cog, especially winning this division and letting those Rams go back home or whatever. Like, it's tough to beat the 49ers when Deebo Samuel was healthy. Mind you, they got all their other weapons. You guys went with those two players, and I'm going to go with the good old Christian McCaffrey, who's just been good old reliable,
yes.
Right? He's like your workhorse. He's the guy that can break a big one. He's broken two big explosive runs in the first two games. I'm not saying you should expect an explosive run every single game, but there's going to be times where he's going to gash teams up the middle and just get the workload of the carries and things like that. I don't know if the 49ers plan on using the other running backs. I'm sure they will. I'm sure it's all the time thing with Kyle Shanahan and things like that. I know a lot of people were upset that Elijah Mitchell didn't get any touches, Jordan Mason didn't get any touches, just because they wanted to spell Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. But look how Christian McCaffrey was utilized. It's not like we just ran. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't just run. It was definitely balanced out, and he usually just finds a way to break one. And, hey, it pads his stats. It makes things look good. That touchdown run by Christian McCaffrey was great run blocking, number one. And then he carried the defense into the end zone, number two. And yes. Then he had the big run again, which yes. I thought he was going to break 51 yards. Yep. That's when he mushed the Keller Weatherspoon. So I'm going to go with good old reliable. As long as Christian McCaffrey is here, healthy and good to go, the Niners' chances of continuing to be successful is very high in my book.
Also,
very high.
He's also up for FedEx Ground Player again this week.
Again. Second week in a row.
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey, 20 carries, 116 yards. The dude, 120-something all-purpose yards.
Just unstoppable. And people can't.
And a TD.
Like, they can't get him. Like, once he, like, gets on the outside and just takes out, like, you can't catch him. Like, you can't get him.
Yeah.
Once he gets loose right there, that's it.
I agree. Now, I see a lot of people saying BA was hurt. He was. He had the shoulder injury early in the game. I don't think this was going to be a big game for BA, though. We talked about the way that they play zone, and we were going to utilize screen games, which we did. We ran tons of screens in this particular game. Mm-hmm. Quick throws, bam, bam, turn around, bam, shoot the dart, keep it going. And let the yak work, let the offensive line work. I thought the offensive line overall played relatively well. I know the grades look bad, but I don't think the grades were as bad as what I saw on film. There was one particular play by Jake Brendel that I was like, oh, this is why Brock Purdy got sacked, right? Or at least hurried on that pass attempt. So Jake Brendel steps back, and the defender literally just swipes him out the way, like scoot, scoot, right?
Yep.
And so now he's right in Brock Purdy's face. Brock Purdy takes off, tries to scramble, get in front. And because of the speed, I would say Christian McCaffrey tried to block Byron Young. But the speed of Byron Young and the strength of Byron Young kind of broke up that play, and he was able to chase Brock Purdy down. And that's where the sack came from. I didn't know if you don't get any yards, it's still a sack. I thought it would have just been a tackle. I thought if you lose yards, it's a sack. So maybe I'm wrong. Don't know. They called it a sack.
You have to step out like in I forgot how far, like what kind of leeway did they give you before it's not a sack and just a tackle? But I think he was still in whatever that's called. They whatever they have, that range or whatever, to be a SAG. And if he steps out of that and he goes to, I guess, like I said, I don't know how many, like what the distance is or whatever, but I do know by watching a lot of quarterbacks that have gotten tackles instead of sacked, that it's some kind of area that if you remain in some area, whatever, that it's a sack. Then if you get past that area, then it's a tackle.
Okay.
But I don't know what.
Yeah, so like, so for design quarterback runs, even if it's behind the line of scrimmage, it's a tackle.
Because anything it's a design that, run. Because
it's a design run. Anything that's a pass, if it's at or behind, if he gets brought down at or behind the line of scrimmage, it's a sack. Right. It's okay. Not a sack once he gets past the line of scrimmage.
Right.
He was that's trying. Right. Yeah. He was trying to get past that line.
Trying to do
yeah.
To that blue line. But he was chased down by Byron Young. But listen, overall, let's talk about the 49ers defense, because I think that's where everybody was holding up the question marks. They were getting chewed up early at first half. Chewed up. I kind of thought it was going to be a Raiders game. And, you know, not this year's Raiders. The last year,
right.
New Year's. I thought it was just going to be a shootout and, mm-hmm. you know, we were going to win by a field goal or something like that. But let's talk about the defense. How were you guys feeling about the defense early, and what type of adjustments did you guys see from Steve Wilks?
I'm not too upset about our defensive performance. I know people are going to say, you know, Puka Nacua. Some people was calling him Pookie Nookie. They didn't know who he was. But Puka Nacua was carving us up. But I feel like, you know, at some point, that was part of the game plan, at least early, is let him do what he does and we shut down everybody else. Because essentially that would be the same thing if Cooper Kupp was out there. We know that he is the focal point of the offense. Let Cooper Kupp go off. Shut down everything else. Matthew Stafford is going to give us a few picks. We're going to be able to get our hands on some interceptions. Let's shut the running game down. Let's make them one-dimensional. And in this game, they were one-dimensional. Puka Nacua was the offense. So it's understandable in the sense that it's just a player replacing another player. If it wasn't Puka Nacua, if it was a healthy Cooper Kupp, that's who would have been getting those targets and those catches. Mm-hmm. So I'm not upset at that point. As far as the adjustments, we saw Steve Wilks call up some more pressure, bringing the linebackers, bringing the corners. Mooney Ward had a great blitz off the corner. He just missed the sack, like just completely missed it. And like you, when you get off the corner that clean and you get to the quarterback, that's not one that you can miss.
Right.
Fred Warner, we got a blitz from him. He got in there. He was able to bring Stafford down. So bringing that manufactured pressure, bringing that fifth guy and bringing it from all over the field from different places, I think that's what Kyle, you know, envisioned. If we need to make an adjustment to add a little bit pressure, I want Steve Wilks here because I know that he has those packages that can get guys home. And we could have had more than the one sack that we did. But then again, also too, I'm sure he's probably faced him at some other point in his career, but I don't know what kind of intel or experience Steve Wilks has playing against Sean McVay. Maybe this is one of the few, you know, if it wasn't his first, maybe it's his second or only his third time playing against this type of offense. That does also look different from maybe what it was the last time he played against him. So I think this was a great learning experience for Steve Wilks to kind of see how that Sean McVay offense, you know, works, see the kind of intricacies of it. He made great halftime adjustments that allowed us to make some plays in that second half. And I think he's going to be more prepared the next time we see this team. So all in all, I wasn't worried about what, you know, we put on the field yesterday.
Peachy, how are you feeling about the defense? I know you overreacted last night on the show. I'm just curious, did you give it any second thought to what you saw? But how did you feel? Like, what did you see watching the game?
And I mean, in the first half, no, I don't change my mind at all. It was not at all what I expected our defense to look like. That slip that Ward had that couldn't get to Stafford when he's right there was really bad. That could have been game changing, actually. That would have stopped that whole entire drive probably. So he couldn't get that. I still felt like there was some missed tackles. I know that me and Breezy kind of disagree on that, but yeah,
it's the way they graded the missed tackles. So let me be clear. There were 12 missed tackles, but they weren't all missed tackles. It was the way they graded a missed tackle. So if you want me to go through the tackles and you tell me if you feel like it was a missed tackle, you know what I'm saying? So like that, like you got to say which ones were missed tackles. Then I could be like, oh, yeah, that was a missed tackle. But the way they graded the missed tackle, like the Javon Hargrave joint, that was a missed tackle. Mm-hmm. Even though he was going for the sack.
Right.
But because he missed the running back.
Yes.
That's a missed tackle. But see, do you call that a missed tackle? I didn't call that a missed tackle. But that's the way they would grade. That's one of the grades of the missed tackle. And a lot of the missed tackles came from the secondary and things like that. Guys running by him and they diving at the leg. So, yeah, I mean, there was 12 of them total, but it was just weird. They were manufactured weird. Yeah. It wasn't like somebody ran up to the dude and just missed the tackle. Mm-hmm. The Mooney Ward, missed tackle.
missed tackle. That's probably the biggest
Because he
one.
Put his head down and dove, opposed to just running through the dude's chest.
Yeah.
That was bad. So,
And you're talking about the Stafford one, right?
Yeah.
On the blitz.
Stafford stepped right to the side, bro.
That was another like outburst at the wedding.
I think I was like, this mother
going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of them. And I was around a lot of church people, so I couldn't cuss either. So that was hard. I couldn't cuss.
I know, that's respect.
And I couldn't react. That was hard. Listen, that was hard. What I did yesterday needs to be commended. Like, that was tough. But that was one of the ones where I'm looking and I'm like,
got you, bro.
Appreciate it. Thank you. I was one of the ones where I'm like, yo, you cannot miss that. Like, had that man dead to rights.
All he had to do was run through him.
If there was any other perfectly called blitz,
bro,
and he just timed it. He got right. All he had to do, and I don't listen.
And even
I don't
if he touched the Moes, it would have freed up another defender.
Somebody else to come
bring
get him. Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
The fact that he just missed him that bad. Oh my God.
And maybe I'll give Mooney the benefit of the doubt because maybe in his mind he's like, if I hit him too hard. If I run through him, if I take him to the ground, then the sack is negated and we get a 15-yard penalty for roughing the passer. I don't know how much that plays into a player's mind, but it's like
well, we watched
on a play like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched
because he had Dak in the end zone for safety.
Safety, dead to rights.
Yeah.
Dead to rights.
Dak was like a deer in headlights, and he just let him go.
Right.
So
we was hey Jim, we missed you last night at the over the top show that we had last night. We was waiting on you to make an appearance.
Yeah. I don't think any Rams fans showed up last night.
No, not a one, but they said they were going to.
Nothing from Romelia?
They did.
Nah.
I think
he did come into the chat, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, he came in today's
not
show.
Not ours, today's.
Nah, he came in today's show. But they needed a moment. I get it. They needed a moment.
So after the half, the adjustments that Wilkes made, it was like night and day. Compared to the first half. So the fact that he was able to realize like what he needed to do, what to pay attention to was a lot better. Matt Stafford threw three picks. It could have been a lot worse. Like it could have been about six. Because two of them like went right through our hands.
Yeah, Tashaun Gibson dropped a pass, yes. Interception. I don't know if anybody else. I know Gip dropped one. You're right. But the difference between the first and second half was the type of defense. So we played more man and we blitzed out of man, if that makes any sense. So, like, he trusted the matchups. He trusted guys on the matchups, and he was going to send one. He only sent one at a time.
Right.
Which was smart, right? Because Matthew Stafford is a smart quarterback. So, like, let's not act like Matthew Stafford ain't seen it all. He's been in the league for, like, a decade.
I was just going to say, he's been in the league for a long time, so he's seen everything.
He's a dinosaur out there, right? So he's seen it. He's been successful. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So what Mo's talked about earlier was that McVay had a game plan, and Stafford stuck to the script. I felt like he stuck to script. The moment he went off script because he was trying to make a play, that's when the interceptions and the mistakes started happening. Yep. And if you want to talk about the Isaiah Oliver interception was dope. It was one-handed. It was dope, right? But the Lenore interception was straight up, I'm going to take your soul. Because I'm going to play tight on this. You think I'm going to – he going to stop on me, but nah, I'm going to recover, come Tricked back, him. And just jump the route.
Tricked him. That was awesome.
That was some Emmanuel Mosley shit right
That
there.
Was great.
So that's what we're getting from Lenore. He got picked on all day. Mm-hmm. Oh, Greenlaw dropped the pick. That was the other guy that dropped the pick. That jump went – remember I said he needed to take off the damn arm brace?
Yeah.
He dropped the pick. Thank you. Mm-hmm. He dropped the pick. So, yeah, Stafford had two picks, but it should have been four picks. Brock Purdy didn't throw any type of picks. Any type of coulda, shoulda, woulda, woulda, there was none. But Stafford was trying to make plays, and that is how I felt the 49ers were trying to get him to play football, like Matthew Stafford. But he was really good at sticking to the script for the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. And if he could have found a way to – if they weren't trailing, oh, man, that would have been tough. Like, he probably would have stuck to the script, not made those mistakes, and the Niners would have had to try to figure out how to manufacture pressure. Now, they couldn't get pressure on him with four guys. I mean, excuse me, they couldn't get sacks on him with those four guys. Yeah. But they did manufacture some pressures. They did have some pressures.
On the other side, though, of the ball, I mean, the Rams defense, I mean, they –
27 total pressures from the 49ers defense.
Right. Didn't exactly look that great against us.
You talk about Aaron Donald and those guys?
Right. Just like I said, I still don't remember Aaron Donald's name being called one time in that game. Maybe it was, I don't remember.
It was on one pressure. Okay. Like he got to Brock on a pressure.
Gotcha.
Matter of fact, Aaron Donald had a total. Well, they said he had a total of two pressures. He had a hit on Brock, and he had a hurry. I'm telling you, that hit was on that play. He stood in that pocket and took that. That was one of the hits, and then he was also rushed. But the Niners, they just game plan really well.
Yeah,
against Aaron Donald. Like I feel like he's just It's not that he's not dominant. He just they don't allow him to show up.
Right. That's true.
They don't allow him to show up. Now, here's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people talk about how bad the 49ers defense was, or the defensive line in particular, because of the pressures. The 49ers had 27 pressures to the Rams 13. So people have been praising the Rams offensive line. Oh, their offensive line is great. Oh, it ain't great. The motherfucker dropped back in 2 seconds and got rid of the ball. That ain't great.
Right.
Yeah, he got rid of the ball fast, too.
How does that make the offensive line great? So don't tell me that they got a great offensive line. They got an offensive line that works because they got a great quarterback that knows how to get rid of the ball quick and efficiently. Kind of sounds like us.
And if anything, your quarterback getting rid of the ball that fast, that's to combat the fact that your offensive line isn't good. Because who did that to us as well? Aaron Rodgers when he's with the Green Bay Packers. Why?
He had to get,
because that Packers offensive line wasn't good. And in previous games, their history with us is we was getting 4, 5, 6 sacks a contest, throwing mm-hmm. off his timing with his receivers. So how were they able to beat us where it came down to a last second field goal and we still could have won that game? He got rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. Well, Sean McVay saw that and he understands, listen, my offensive line isn't as good as it has been in the past. I don't have Andrew Whitworth anymore.
Right.
I don't have some of these. I don't have a Roger Saffold anymore. I don't have some of these mm-hmm. big time offensive linemen that I had before. And which allowed my quarterback is mm-hmm. my quarterback is in his mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. He had a bunch of injuries last year. This is one of the best defenses in the league, and I know they're going to come hunt. So how can I keep him upright? Well, I got to have him get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds.
Just like that.
Because I know my offensive line is not going to hold up. They might be okay in the first quarter, but once Chris Kocurek and Steve Wilks start seeing what we're putting on film and start making adjustments, they're going to beat the brakes off of these boys. So that's not a good offensive line. That's my quarterback and my offensive coordinator or my offensive play caller scheming up a game plan to not allow them to get exposed.
Yeah, no,
when you have to have a game plan implemented to hide your weaknesses and your deficiencies, that doesn't mean you're good. Sorry to break it to you.
Would you say the Niners kind of do the same thing?
No, because we dialed up some deep shots that take some time down the field.
I'm just talking about in general.
Brock either just missed them, mm-hmm. or there was that one that you talked about where he hung in there until the last second and found Ayuk wide open. So, like, I don't think – maybe in a way, maybe Kyle is scheming some things up, you know, to help out the right side. But from some of the stuff that I did see – there's a lot of times where I saw McKivitz one-on-one with Aaron Donald, and he held his own for the most part. So, like, that doesn't show me that Kyle is scheming up things to hide the deficiencies of McKivitz. That shows me that, you know, he might scheme up some things to get some momentum in a particular drive to kind of string some things together, then to open it up to some of the other things that he wants to do. But their game plan was all day. Kyle may sprinkle in some things to kind of hide some deficiencies, but it's ultimately leading him to what he really wants to open up and do.
So what are your thoughts on Steve Wilks, Peachy? Like, is he wooing you over with the 49ers defense? I mean, they came, I go back to week one where, you know, the only reason why Pittsburgh got a touchdown was because of dumb penalties.
Yep.
And I feel like the Rams only got a touchdown because we started doing dumb stuff and getting dumb penalties, which kept their drives alive. Yep. And then they had that momentum. So what are your thoughts on Steve Wilks? He did make the adjustments. He did switch back up to some type of a man zone-ish kind of defense in the second half. And he started dialing up his specialty, the blitz. He trusts the speed and mm-hmm. the confidence of his linebackers. I don't know if Mooney Ward going to get another opportunity if he wants to sit there with, but he did trust them. So what are your thoughts on Wilks so far?
I think that we just finished week two. And I think that the more Wilks gets comfortable along with just, you know, like, viewing the schemes, watching film, doing things like that, I think that he's definitely going to be better. And he's going to be able to make adjustments a lot faster. The Rams are just a really intelligent team, just like we are, and like from top to bottom on their coaching staff. And I think he just, you know, had to see like exactly what was going on and what plan he had to stop them. Because when we were getting the penalties, I think I tweeted, like, this reminds me of, like, the Singletary years. Like, what? Because there was some dumb stuff going on out there. That was some really dumb, boneheaded stuff that also helped the Rams to be able to score. So once he made the adjustments, like I said, I mean, everything was great. It turned Matt Stafford into the quarterback that we think, you know, that we thought that we were going to see when he started making mistakes and doing all this this stuff. And that's, you know, so Wilkes figured it out and got it fixed. I think in the future, the more games he has under his belt, I believe that his adjustments will come a lot faster if he needs to make adjustments.
Mose, why do you think Wilkes didn't try to play more press, try to jam up some of these receivers at the line of scrimmage, like especially the young Puka Nacua? Why not try to get up in his chest plate and knock that timing off? Because that's all it was. It was just timing. It was soft coverage, 10 yards off, and you run underneath, ball will be there.
I think there's a few reasons for that. I think maybe there right now there's only one guy he might trust to play press man, and that might be Demo. I feel like Mooney might be a little too handsy right now. I think Ambry might be a little too handsy right now. So there's a trade-off. Do you play press man and either get early penalties, you know, that kill your defensive momentum, extend drives, you know, allow them first and short, second and short, or automatic first downs? Or do you get beat deep because you're playing press man and you know that Sean McVay is going to scheme up the offense to take advantage of that, as opposed to play soft coverage? Know that because you're playing soft coverage, Sean McVay is going to take that. He's going to bite the cheese. He's going to take everything that you give him underneath, and you just make the tackle. So, like, Puka Nacua had 15 receptions, but of those 15 receptions, how many of those were really detrimental to what the defense was trying to do? I'm sure there's a few first downs in there. I'm sure there's a few, you know, drive extenders on third down. But the majority of those catches really didn't affect what we were trying to do on defense. His catches didn't get us out of any coverages, didn't force us to play any different coverages. You know, we gave a defense and we said, look, this is the only thing that you can have today. So you either take that and live with it, or you get nothing. And they decided to take it, and we were able to beat them by dictating to them exactly what they could get. So I think that was the plan going in. Let's not be overly aggressive against this team, knowing the offensive prowess that Sean McVay has. And, you know, it seemed to work. It worked with adjustments. We wanted to get some pressure. We needed to, you know, Matt Stafford into making some quick, hurried up decisions that caused some turnovers that we got. Naturally, I've heard a bunch of people say it. We would like to be able to get that pressure from our front four. You know, that's what they're built to do, so we don't have to bring that extra guy. But I don't mind bringing that extra guy, and I don't mind having to make that adjustment early, because now going down the line, teams know, like, that's something in our wheelhouse. Even if our front four is getting pressure and getting sacks and our front four is working, we still might sprinkle in, bringing in a corner off the edge, bringing Fred, bringing Dre, maybe having Huff come in. Like, that's another thing for teams to think about. What if they bring five? What if they bring six? So, again, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I think for me, like, what was frustrating was, like, why not set the tone? Why? And if you get beat trying to set the tone, then you get beat trying to set the tone. But, like, why not try to set the tone? And if you got a blitz, you got a blitz. Imagine, I mean, they had Huff, they sent Huff, they had a safety blitz going, they had a cornerback blitz going, and a couple of linebacker blitzes in this particular game. But why not try to set the tone if you knew that that was going to be their game plan? Like, you know what I'm saying? So we could have easily negated it. I want everybody to play up, blah, 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 blah. You could fake the blitz. You can line your linebackers right up there in the middle. They drop right back in coverage. Like, you have the best linebackers in the game when it comes to covering and with speed and things like that. I just feel like I want Steve to become more of the aggressor, not that methodical, logical, that death by the thousand. Nah. Take the heart away from the line at the very beginning of the game. force them to change up their game plan. And I think that is what I was expecting from Wilkes to do. I felt like in Pittsburgh, he did just that. But then on the road in L.A., I don't know if he felt like this game was weighed way too much more. He didn't want to make the mistakes as a coordinator. But I felt like he could have been more aggressive.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different just because it is a division opponent. And you kind of want to be careful with those division opponents. I think he does respect Sean McVay and the offense that he has. I'm sure he was told by Kyle Shanahan that, you know, this week is going to be different, this week of preparation. You know, when you talk about setting the tone, I like how you switched it at the end and just said be more aggressive because, you know, I would say from a standpoint of when you dictate what somebody can do, like if I'm telling you, bro, this is the only thing you're going to be able to do today. So you either take this or you get nothing. To me, that is setting a tone, right? That's setting a tone that I'm not allowing you to do nothing. But then I understand what you mean, like be the aggressor, like set the tone. But set the tone, you want him to be more Mike Tyson than Floyd Mayweather.
Right. I mean, it's
like, you don't... You want a first round knockout, like, but get him out of here early.
And I know you got to be timely when you do the right.
Right.
I know timing is everything, but you got the pieces. Like, you got Fred and them. You got linebackers that will get graded low every week, and we don't give a shit, but they'll get graded low every week just because they got a cover, right? And they're going to give up the catch. Right, they're gonna give it up. It's underneath routes, like they're gonna give it up, but they make the tackle. Giving up the catch obviously is weighted more than making the tackle, but especially if they're in coverage on that.
Linebackers are supposed to hit.
it's a really crazy system. That's why when we watch Fred play, when we watch our linebackers play, they look good. They look good. F the grade. Same thing with the offensive linemen. If they give up a sack, then it's questionable. If they don't give up any sacks, what's the problem? Right? Makes zero sense. But all I'm saying is for me with Steve, like Peachy says, a long season. At home, I don't want to hear none of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we playing the Giants, but at home, you defend home. You set the tone at home. You dictate what they're going. You tell them what you're going to allow them to do at home. On the road, get it. A little passive aggressive. At home, I want aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
Aggressive.
Yeah, we got to have a strong 100%. Home stand. Like, we 100%. Have to. So, apparently, they are working on, like, I guess they're resodding. So, let's hope and pray that it's ground in enough. Because that's pretty scary for them to be just starting that. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm a little interested in that. Like, they couldn't.
Was anything going on at Levi's?
They had the Ed Sheeran concert this past weekend. So the people tore that stadium up.
Okay.
I'm sure the field, the grounds crew, the trucks.
So when was that? What was that, Saturday?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
So why they wait till now?
Saturday? Exactly.
Well why so because late? the concert's on Saturday and it's an evening concert. So they probably didn't do any breakdown of the set until
Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
Today's only Monday. Yeah.
That's a good
right,
point.
Right, so dang, Sunday was breaking down
yeah, but they need to
the
put
set,
some pep in the step,
getting
step
all that
man.
Stuff. Yeah.
They got money.
The concert probably wasn't over till about, like, what, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Probably midnight, yeah.
Yeah, them crews is not breaking that stuff down that late at night. So they probably came in Sunday, broke down
had
all, the
break
set,
down
all that
day,
stuff out of there.
Looked at the damage.
Now, and right, and then it's okay. Let's resod today, and you know, hopefully
all new grass
set by Thursday.
All new grass.
How you feel about Quantrez Knight now being an Arizona Cardinal? He was picked up off the practice squad from the 49ers. The Cardinals placed Buda Baker on IR for the time being.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then they decided to sign Quantrez Knight. Now, remember Quantrez Knight, when he was cut from the 49ers, he was going to go there. He had, you know, he was there. Yeah. But he chose to come back and sign with the Niners.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be behind whoever it was, else was they had. But now that Buddha is gone, he's going to get an opportunity. I'm happy for him. But he now he an op.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, yo. Cool dude.
He's op.
Now, but now he an op. So we wish him nothing but the best.
Oh, you got to be kidding me right now. Nick Chubb got hurt. I can't with this.
Anyway, 49ers, speaking of hurt, injury report, we got Samuel Womack, who's on the IR. He's going to be out for about 2 months. Brandon Ayuk with the shoulder. We'll keep that monitored. Diamondre Lenore and Ambry Thomas were injured in the game. I see a lot of people saying they want to move on from Ambry Thomas. What did Ambry do bad in this game? I'm curious. Other than give up underneath routes. Because if that's the case, every cornerback should be gone.
I was going to say, every single one of them needs to get shipped off right along with them then, because that was, like, annoying.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and that's why I said I don't think we can fault the cornerbacks for what the game plan was. The game
that's what I'm saying.
Was to give them all that underneath stuff.
Underneath, yeah. Underneath
not let
route.
Them beat us over the top. Because, like I said, we know that Sean McVay is going to take the cheese. Whatever you give him, he's going to take it. So, I mean, did he have any penalties?
No, not in this game.
So no penalties from him?
No. He had three. He was the leading tackler until he got injured. Then they inserted Thomas. And then Thomas had a game. I mean, if it's because you watched how Thomas played – not Thomas, Isaiah Oliver, he ascended. And it's about damn time.
Listen, that was in my notes. Like, we finally saw what and who Isaiah Oliver can be in his defense, why we went after him specifically for how he played in that second half.
Yeah.
He ascended.
I was very proud of Oliver. There's a lot of people that were saying whoa,
because I want to put some respect on his name, because he didn't ball out. Y'all don't know football. Puka was destroying him. I just want to point out that Puka was destroying all the DBs because of the type of soft coverage that they were playing. Oliver made one open field tackle to force a fourth down. And then he had a stop in the backfield to force another fourth down. So to say that he didn't play well is an understatement, because all the DBs, their assignment was to give up the yards underneath, right, and not get beat deep. That was their assignment. We're not going to give up the big explosive play down the field. And if they get down to the red zone, I like my red zone defense over their red zone offense. I think that was it. That's what I got from Steve Wilks. That's what it looked like he was trying to play. I don't think he'll have to do that against Danny Dimes, Josh Dobbs. Like, he's not going to have to do that against those type of quarterbacks. So, and you'll see a big different game plan. Oh no, he was carted off. All right. So, let's talk about the Niners. They got a game coming up. Great win for the Niners. Niners are 2-0, first place in the division. They did work out DB, former first-round pick Bradley Roby. I don't know if you guys are interested in him. Former Ohio Stadium player, Peachy, drafted in 2014. All right, to the Denver Broncos. Plays outside and inside, so they get a versatile player. Now, he was hosted for a visit. So we'll see what happens. You think he signs with the Niners?
Apparently, the reports are that he was hanging around. I'm not even sure if he's gone yet, because the last thing I saw, he was in the building. He was literally in the building talking to some folks. So it's possible that he may be sticking around.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, it's gonna be interesting.
Now, what do we think the
what's this? This
the
is for Womack.
Bring him in is for.
So Womack's gone.
Womack injury.
Yeah, Womack's gone for a couple of months. They tried Trey Swilling. He gets that crazy dumbass penalty. How do you get a penalty on your first NFL play debut? on special teams at that.
That was so bad.
When I Mose, we went into the fourth quarter with 3 penalties for 17 yards. We finished the game with 6 penalties for 57 yards. I just don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand. And I'm not acting like, hey, hold up, Fernando, because I never said he was impressive. But don't take what he did away from what he did when he was asked to do what he did with the defensive coordinator that he had. I'm not saying that he's impressive. I don't think any of our DBs have been impressive other than Diamandouro Lenore. But Ambry Thomas has started both games. So he's impressing the coach, obviously, if they're going to continue to start him, if they're going to bring in somebody and put them at nickel, right? So I think that the thing was put Diamandouro Lenore at nickel, start Ambry and Ward on the outside. He's just doing what he's asked. I'm not saying he's impressive. I'm just saying he hasn't done anything. He hasn't gotten beat deep. He's got 1 penalty on the year for some dumb junk because I think he's handsy, like you said, Mose. But he's not flaringly good. But Diamandouro Lenore got beat all game yesterday until he made the interception. So what are we saying here? Like, it was mainly their game plan to attack the 49ers DBs, and we allowed them to do what they did. I thought we needed to play more aggressive. That's all I was saying. If we would just play more aggressive, I think a lot of that. I tell you what, I don't know how Puka Nacua going to play on Sunday. I don't know. That dude barely was getting up off the ground after every play. I mean, he was getting hit literally in the ribs. Literally getting hit. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's talk about this game, upcoming game. The Giants are coming into town.
Yes. No Saquon Barkley.
No Saquon Barkley. He's going to be out for the next couple of weeks.
Matt Breida will be RB1.
RB1 Matt Breida. So now they're going to add that speed element to the run game.
Yep.
Like you think Matt Breida will finish this game healthy?
I was going to ask, is he healthy going into this game?
I mean, he ain't played football in 2 years, so he should be pretty healthy, but he going to get hit.
A lot.
What do you think the game plan for the Giants is going to be for the 49ers? Mose, you give me the defensive side. Peachy, you give me the offensive side.
Okay. Go ahead, Mose.
I think defensively, I mean, obviously there is no Saquon. I feel like defensively it's still going to be the same, which is, you know, control the line of scrimmage and stop the run. Make Daniel Jones pass the ball, because also out for them is their starting left tackle, Andrew Thomas.
Andrew Thomas, yes, sir.
He looks like he's out as well. Mm-hmm. And also looking at, you know, just the season statistics so far, Daniel Jones is the second most sacked quarterback. Right now he's been sacked 10 times on the season. So if there's any game for us to get after the quarterback, if there's any game for those complaining that Nick Bosa recently signed largest contract for a non-quarterback, has not had a sack yet. If there's any game for Nick Bosa to add a sack to the stat sheet, it is this one. Now, I think we also, you know, it's been talked about that we struggle with mobile quarterbacks who can extend the pocket, quarterbacks who can, you know, rush for first downs. So I think that's going to be an emphasis as well. I think that's going to be an emphasis on the defensive line, particularly our ends, you know, setting the edge and containing. And I think it's going to be an emphasis on our linebackers, particularly Fred and Dre, you know, to spy and make sure that they have eyes on the quarterback to kind of limit those additional yards. But I think the game plan is going to be the same. Take away the run, force Daniel Jones to pass, and then get after the quarterback with our pass rush.
Love it. And I'm with you. Contain, got to find a way to keep him in the pocket. And the thing that I like about the 49ers now is they have that interior rush. They have to where he can't just run up the middle, which is what he's going to try to do. I think the way we set the edge is really good. Can I just say, if the 49ers defensive front can't sack Daniel Jones, who's the what? You said he's the second most sacked quarterback or the first most sacked quarterback?
Second most sacked. No, they the first is C.J. Stroud. He's been sacked 11 times.
Poor C.J. And he's playing right now, so it might go higher. But my point, no, he's not playing right now. Bryce Young is playing right now. I thought C.J. played damn good yesterday with Houston and the Texans. He had a couple of touchdown throws. Tank Dell had a touchdown.
Yeah.
I thought he was playing really good.
He's fourth in the league in passing yards. He only has two touchdowns, but he doesn't have any interceptions. Like, he's doing his thing. He's coming along pretty
he'll
good.
He'll get he's it. Learning. Yeah, he'll
learning
get it.
Learning on the job, yep.
If the Niners defense can't get a sack just from that front four, we need to have another conversation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Serious conversation, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah.
Because people are, like, yeah. already talking trash that I'm putting out, you know, Bosa's not getting a sack, and sacks mm-hmm. don't matter. No, they matter. They matter. Mm-hmm. Pressures are what we want. They force quarterbacks to make mistakes, but the sacks get the quarterbacks down in the distances. I like the sacks because the sacks make the offense have to call up different types of plays, and your defense can tee off when it's a second and 25 and a third and 30. Like, your defense can just have a field day. You play pass coverage and you let the front four go at it. So I do like sacks, but if we can't get a sack, bro, now we have to have a conversation. Offensively, Peachy, how will the 49ers, what would be the game plan offensively?
I think this might be a George Kittle game.
Ooh.
I think Kittle, it's time for a Kittle game. I think that we may get a Kittle game. I know that the Giants have, like, a decent defense. They are missing some players. I was trying to find their report, and I can't find it. I think they posted tomorrow with who's missing. I think they got, like, two linebackers or something that might be missing and something like that. But either way, I think Kittle is going to have a huge game. I do believe that we're going to be able to put a lot of yards up on this team.
Mm-hmm.
From Christian McCaffrey to George Kittle to, I think all of our players are going to be able to eat. I think that they're, from what I've seen, you know, I was watching some of the game yesterday that the Giants played or whatever, and I think that we should not have any problems with this team. Even if they had Saquon, we still should not have any problems with this team. We should be able to put up a lot of points against this Giants defense. And I believe that Brock doesn't even have to have the deep, you know, powerful throws in order to do whatever. I believe that he can just, you know, kind of like what we did with the Rams for the most part with screens and everything. I think that the Giants are going to – I mean, the Giants are allowing, like, so much offense to be played. I think that we're going to be just fine. And I do believe that this is going to be a Kittle game. Kittle's not going to have to work as hard. And the blocking part. Like,
nah, he got work in the – we got to run the ball. But
– yeah.
Please, Giants, please start Isaiah Simmons.
Right.
I'm begging the Giants to start Isaiah. You want Kittle to have a great game? Put Isaiah Simmons in this game.
Yes.
Please. I beggeth the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though, Peachy. Like,
yeah.
Timing is going to be crucial.
This could be kind of important. I'm not sure, but I was reading on the Giants pages that they are planning to bring in running backs.
Who cares?
So,
like, who they gonna
I know
bring in?
That I know the Rams are set to trade Cam Akers, like, from the GM on down. Like, they want him traded, and a lot of teams have reached out to them. I'm sure after what happened tonight that Cleveland will be one of the main teams that will probably go after Cam Akers now and give the Rams what they want in order to get him. But the Giants did say that they are going to be bringing in running backs, that they are preparing to not have Saquon for a lot of games. So at least, like, 3 to 4 games or something like that. So
Hey, they Giants got to do what the Giants got to do.
Right.
Ain't our problem. I'm not worried about us stopping the run in this particular game.
Yeah.
I feel like the 49ers know how to adjust into stopping the run. I mean, Kyren Williams had a game, but he didn't have a game on the ground. It was more like, hey, he got down to the goal line,
exactly.
got it in, yep. caught a screen pass, got yep. it in. Mm-hmm. Like, I said, keep them away from the goal line. Like, mm-hmm. that was the thing. But yep. no, they don't want to listen to the keys.
That's what it was.
Because that's when they thrive. That yep. was their touch. Those were their touchdowns, right?
That's absolutely right.
A lot of people want to see Ronnie Bell on our offense. Listen, guys, patience. But when the yeah. opportunity comes, he'll get his time. He was in the game when Brandon Ayuk was out. He was the receiver that they called. They put him in the game, had a good crucial block, had a couple of good blocks in the game. Zero targets, though. Week one, when he came in the game, he was wide open on a target, and Brock Purdy just straight up missed. You got to watch. What I do is I put out the all 22 throws.
Yes.
Of the quarterback. So you guys can kind of like decipher it yourself. I'm not telling you what's going on. I want you to see it and how we look at the all 22. Go check it out. You'll see who'll be open. You'll see who the quarterback misses or whatnot. So mm-hmm. look, I'm with you guys on both sides. I'll hit you with the special teams angle. Listen, Jake Moody has been nothing but a breath of fresh air for the 49ers. He's 6-for-6 on the season with a long of 57. Congratulations to Jake Moody. Mm-hmm. He has the second longest field goal as a 49er at 57 yards, second to former 49er David Akers, right? And he also leads that record as a rookie, kicking the longest field goal in the NFL. I would say that the kid's pretty damn confident right now. He's also our kickoff kicker. Now, he had one that went out of bounds that resulted in a penalty. I don't know what mm-hmm. he was trying to do. And that, to me, was when the shit started hitting the fan a little bit for the Niners. It was like, that happened. That was extra yards. Penalty. Extra yards. Touchdown drive. Right? I'm like, oh, man. It's like we gave him some juice. Jake Moody, I think, just needs to continue to make strides and continue to, when his number is called, just keep kicking, yo.
Yeah.
Will they all go in this season? No. But the fact that he's confident is what you guys should be more right. paying attention to.
Exactly.
He's confident. Yeah.
I wanted to say, I see a lot of people that are saying, you know, Dallas beat them 40-0. We should beat them 41-0. Guys, you got to realize that the elements played a part in that as well. Like, it was raining. So there's a lot of different things. And what does raining normally, you know, favor? So it wasn't, I mean, those blowouts are rare. And just because, you know, we might go out there and they may put up, you know, a touchdown or two or something like that. As long as the 49ers win the game, this is a Thursday game.
Yeah,
Thursday games are weird anyway. As mm-hmm. long as we win this game, it's all that matters. There should be nobody trying to compare the two because, like I said, it was pouring down rain when they played Dallas.
Yeah, it was.
So,
in New York, yep. It was pouring down.
That,
it wasn't a monsoon, though.
No, it wasn't, but... rain that made the
yeah,
game
but that
weird.
That wasn't the factor. The Giants just fucking sucked. Let's just call it like it is. And what happened was they got punched in the mouth very fucking early. Okay,
very
when
good.
You turn the ball over on special teams, that's a big no-no because that gave yep. Dallas points.
Exactly.
That put them up. It had nothing to do with the rain. It had to do with them turning the ball over on special teams. Then on top of that, they turned the ball over again.
Yeah.
Right. Then yep. the defense scored that time.
That's true.
You spotting a team 14-16 points is a big. Bad no. The mm-hmm. Niners ain't about that life.
Yeah.
That's
Rick,
why I'm not
playing Madden. You play Madden and they've added this into the game, right?
The
momentum is a huge
yes.
thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when Dallas got the momentum, they mm-hmm. snatched it and the Giants could never recover. Now, sometimes you can.
Sometimes you
can string some plays together. You can string a drive together,
yeah.
and you can swing momentum back into your favor. And then that's how you have those swings. That's how you have those major comebacks. But normally that doesn't happen. This early in the season, you're trying to figure things out, and especially against a division opponent that knows you really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a Mike Tyson knockout that the Cowboys gave them. So, like, if we don't do that, does that mean that the Cowboys are better than us? Absolutely not. The Cowboys had all off season to prepare for that game. That was their first one. We have what, 2-3 days?
Yeah. Yeah. So on a short week, you want us to come in
on a short week, and we've been on the road for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right. I would lower those. I would lower, like Peach said, lower the 40-point expectations, but expect the 49ers to still be dominant, right? You can expect the team to be dominant. Come in, they're going, they're going to be at home. You want them to defend home. I did want to put this out there, though, because Dak Prescott has never lost to the Giants. Let that sink in. He's been in the league for how many years? He has not lost to the Giants, period. Mm-hmm. Just like Deebo Samuel hasn't lost to the Rams.
Right.
But that was a good comment, Daniel. I appreciate it. But no, listen, I think the 49ers come out there and they do what they need to do to defend home. They got three games back-to-back at home. It's going to be a great matchup, you know, and I expect the 49ers to win. I expect them to start off the season 3-0. And then host Arizona and be 4-0, and then host the Dallas Cowboys and be 5-0. I mean, 5-0 sounds really good right now. That's where we're going right now. 5-0. 5-0. Let's do some final thoughts, guys. Let's get on out of here, man. What a great show. You guys have been a great audience, as always, on a Monday night. Victory Monday as it is, but it's crazy because it's a weird Victory Monday. We don't have a lot of time. And we got to prepare for Thursday night football. So it's like quick, 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 bang, 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 bang. All right. So final thoughts. We'll go with Moe's Peachy. You could close it out, and then we'll get up out of here.
Listen, excited for our 49ers. They are 2-0. We talked about it all offseason. We wanted to start fast. We didn't want to start slow. You know, we have an opportunity to keep this momentum going this Thursday night against the Giants in our home opener. Listen, it's set up for us to win. But it's also set up for it to be a trap game. But I think with the way this team is playing right now, I think with the mindset of everybody in that locker room, they're not overlooking the Giants. They're not worried that there won't be Saquon Barkley. They're not worried that there won't be starting left tackle Andrew Thomas. They're not worried that this team has given up, you know, the second most sacks so far through 2 weeks. They're not worried that Daniel Jones struggles, you know, in the passing game and the offense. They're not worried about any of those things. I think this team is focused on getting better, on correcting some mistakes, and continuing to string together wins. So I'm excited to see, you know, how they hit the field Thursday night in that home opener.
Any score prediction? Do you want to give one now or?
Niners 35, Giants 13.
Okay. Final thoughts, Peachy, and then your score prediction.
I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to us 49ers on a 2-game win streak. That's fantastic. We just need to make it 3. And go ahead and take care of business on Thursday. Like I said, Thursdays are always weird games. You never know what's going to happen on Thursday, but I do trust that this 49er team realizes that we can't overlook anyone, no matter who it is. Just like Breezy said, like, we have to remember that, you know, they get dressed and put on their clothes the same way everybody else does. And they may not have Saquon, they may not, you know, whatever they don't have, we still have to take them seriously and just get out there and get that victory. Appreciate all you guys for just tuning in to all the shows. We really appreciate that. Just happy to have you here. If you're new, be sure that you subscribe. If you like what you are subscribed to, feel free to join the Breezy's Bunch crew. That would be awesome for you guys. We got some great things coming up for the Breezy's Bunch members. So it's definitely something to do. But again, thank everyone for tuning in to our show. I have 43-13 as a score.
40 burger. I love it.
I think that we can put up 40-some points on.
I'll tell you what. We're definitely putting up minimum 30.
Yes.
30 Purdy. That's
absolutely
the minimum.
Absolutely. 30 Purdy. That's true. Sorry, Breezy, for you saying that. And I also want to send prayers out to Nick Chubb. Because if you guys know Georgia, he, like, basically ripped everything in that knee, from an MCL to a PCL to a whatever it was, every known thing that was in that knee, he basically probably just did the same thing. So we just want to send out our prayers for Nick Chubb for a speedy recovery. And, you know, whenever he comes back next year or whenever, you know, he's able to come back.
All right, man. Prayers up for Nick Chubb. Palo Alto Niner, man, I see your comment out here, man. I never comment in the chats, but just wanted to say I've appreciated y'all for a while. Thank you for what you do. We truly appreciate you, my brother. You know what I'm saying? Listen, guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in. It's always fun to talk nitty gritty with the family. And I'm excited about Thursday night football because all these other I feel like the Niners game is never boring.
Never.
So any other team that plays on Thursday night, that shit, it'd be dull. But when the yes. Niners play, it's something it's must-see TV.
Yes.
It's must-see TV. So I'm excited. My score prediction, 34-13. I think the Niners get 34 points in this one, and they get ready for Arizona. They'll have a nice long break. That's when you see the first 40-burger prediction, in my opinion. For me,
nice.
But PG, I like it. You going with the 43? That's a dope number. Wow, Jesus, 43. We put up 43 points. We celebrating. Somebody getting bottles somewhere out there. We gonna celebrate 43 points, and we better win the game. 43 points, guys. It's been real. Listen, man. No matter what you do, you know, remain faithful. Right, find a way to hold on to that faith. But there's times when you just got to talk and get the stuff off your chest,
yes.
man. Keep it nitty gritty, man. Don't change yourself for nobody. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing I love about everybody here and everybody in the chat, man.
Yep.
Be yourself.
That's
love
right.
y'all. Stay up, y'all. We'll see y'all. We out. Peace.
Peachy.
It's about that time. Everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's knows Peachy Breezy and Fair to God. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you Nine to Talk. We two gorillas, silver back, nah, silver
hawks. You know it's busting the discussion because we get it in. Every time, you know, we grinding. I was 8 to 10. We always play to win. The faithful going hard. It's Wayne Breezy, Peachy, Moe's knows and Fair to God. Let's get it. Nitty gritty.